Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, Bible says, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied, 'There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments.' 'Which ones?' the man inquired. Jesus replied, 'Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother.'" Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Amen. We like that one in my house. "And love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Lord, I thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet. I thank you that we can indeed grab onto your truths and work them in our lives, that you might be glorified in our midst. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. If he gets overly abundant, just go to the second row right there. You'll still see me and nobody can see him. All righty. Rich young ruler. We find out that indeed he had great wealth. I want to tell you a story about Roscoe. Roscoe is almost the opposite of this rich young ruler. Lisa and I were ministering in downtown Sacramento. The church neighborhood outreach was right across from Needle Park. They called it Needle Park because all the heroin addicts would hang out there. And this guy, Roscoe, and he realistically, he looked like a troll. Homeless man, hunched over, big old hunch, utterly filthy, destitute in his life. We had a significant homeless outreach at the church. He would come to my Sunday school class. And he came up to me one day and he said, Pastor Bob, can I get $5? And I said, what do you need $5 for, Roscoe? He goes, man, I got to buy some crack cocaine. See, my girlfriend will go with anybody who has crack cocaine. And I got to get some to keep her with me. Got to get some to keep her with me. And I said, Roscoe, I mean, I've been seeing him, you know, food and all that stuff. I said, God has so much more for you than this. I said, Roscoe, Jesus died on the cross so that you can have new life, abundant life, eternal life. And he's looking, you know. He's paying attention. I said, Roscoe, the Bible says that if you would give your life to Jesus, that he will give his life to you. And we're standing in the parking lot. There's all these school buses out there. We had bus ministry and stuff. I said, Roscoe, you can do that right now. You can get new life in Christ. I said, do you want that? And he looked at me. And he said, I'm so scared. And you look at this destitute, trolley man with a street prostitute as his girlfriend that would go with anybody who had crack cocaine. And you wonder, what is holding you back from heaven? But whatever you got is the most precious thing to you. And this destitute man didn't want to give up his painful existence to the Lord. Almost the direct opposite of the rich young ruler. Message titled today, Barriers to Eternal Life. Roscoe had some this rich young man had barriers. And realistically, we all have barriers to eternal life. Amen? We all have opportunity to enter into eternal life. Series is called Working the Word. And I have a message for you today that eternal life is already happening. There are many of us who see that eternal life is something that you're going to jump onto down the road. Eternal life is like those people mover things that you have or that you see at the airport. And they're strolling along and you see guys that are on it and there's some people that aren't. And so as we talk about eternal life and as this man says, how do I get eternal life? What do I have to do to get eternal life? There are those who think that eternal life is down the road, but it is standing right next to you. And it is available because eternal, by definition, goes both ways. Amen? It goes all the way back and it goes all the way forward. So, as you ask Christ to come into your life, you jump on that track. And some people just stand in there. Other people, you know, hey man, we're having a good time in eternal life. Right? And so, as we work the Word, God wants you to have fullness in life. God wants you to know Him in a true and mighty way that you might be transformed. And that's why we work the Word. Not to get eternal life, but because we have eternal life. The good that we do is not to get eternal life. The good that we do is a result of having eternal life. Amen? Many of us need some help. Reading Ezekiel this week. Ezekiel 44:23. My priests are to teach my people the difference between holy and common. See, so many of us have that eternal life, and we're trying to drag common along with the holy. And as you work the Word, amen, the description of how we are to be in right relationship with God, we need some help in being able to distinguish the holy and the common, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. And that is why we're in this series called Working the Word, so that as we are on that conveyor of eternal life, we can become trained on what should we bring in with us and what we should be leaving behind. Amen? So, working the Word, barriers to eternal life. We all got some. Let's take a look. Amen? All right. Heading for heaven. And we take a look at this guy. Verse 16 and the first half of 17. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good." This guy says, "Hey, let's make a deal. Let's work this out." And I want to let you know this morning that there's only one way to get to heaven. Amen? You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. As I explained to Roscoe, you give Him your life, He gives you eternal life. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." And that is the trade that I offered to Roscoe. And that is the trade that Jesus is offering this man. And that is how you get to heaven. You get to heaven by going with Jesus. Amen? Amen? You give your life to the Lord, you enter into eternal life. You enter into relationship with Him. This guy is asking the right question. How do I get to heaven? But the problem is his motivation is wrong. What do I got to do? What do I got to give? What deal do I have to make? What thing do I have to do? And Jesus says, man, and you would think that Jesus would say, "Hey, good thinking. You're on the right track." But he says, what are you talking about? Jesus brings correction because this guy's motivation is all wrong. This guy's got cash. He's used to making deals. And he says, "What deal do I got to make with you?" And Jesus says, "You can't make a one-time deal. What you do is you enter into a lifelong, life-changing relationship with Christ. You line up on Him, and He takes you to heaven. It's not a one-time shot. God's not looking for a one-time shot. He's looking for a lifelong lease. Enter a relationship with me. The good we do is because we're in relationship with Him, not to get in relationship with Him. Amen? And this guy just has it all wrong. God gives the requirements. Jesus says, if you want to enter into life, obey the commandments. God's already made a deal. God gives us the roadmap in the Bible. Problem. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 that the commandments, that the law that was given to bring life, bring death. Paul tells us that that very thing, the law, the commandments, because of the sin that is within us, brings death. And so, this guy has an awareness that he is falling short of the kingdom of God. Each one of us have an awareness. He's saying, man, I'm not making the kingdom of heaven. I'm not making eternal life. What do I got to do to get it? And the commandments, when you try to work them out to get you into heaven, they're going to show you what you're not getting done. Are you tracking with me? Now, Bible also says that our spirit will bear witness with His spirit. His spirit will bear witness with our spirit. Let us know that we're on the right track, and also let us know what we got to do next. Amen? Because when you're in a right lifelong relationship, you got to keep on keeping on. Amen? It's not a one-time shot. My wonderful wife makes breakfast for me often. It's not like she made breakfast for me on our honeymoon and said, you're done. You're on your own now. And that's kind of what this rich young ruler wants to do. He's feeling death and he's looking for a solution. Problem is, he's looking in the wrong place. And many of us have spent a lot of time looking in the wrong place for life. Amen? And we just find death. Feel it in life. You can see it in life. And you can also see life. You can look around here and you can see eternal life, because you know what eternal life looks like? Obedience. That eternal life, when you've got it, you are saying, how can I bless you, Lord? How can I work it? You know what? You're in the Word. I used to tell people before I was saved, oh yeah, I work the Bible, all that I know, ha ha ha, and I don't know very much. Amen? Barriers to eternal life. When you're working through them, it is on display. Amen? I had a call this week. I was so blessed. Person says, Pastor, there is an opportunity that I became aware of, and I want to invite this person to come and live with me. What? Yeah. You know, the Lord is just moving on my heart, and I want to open my home. I said, well, let's talk about that. Because when you open your home to somebody, that is like a life change. Amen? That is like totally sacrificial. And I'm telling you, you know, and I'm talking, and we're talking, and end up losing the signal, losing the call. But I'm just driving along, smiling after that, just going, oh, man. Why? That is good that comes out of eternal life. Amen? When you got it, it will be apparent to you and to people around you. That person's going to heaven. Amen? Hope you got it. Hope you got it. All right, here we go. Let's see how you're doing, Jesus says. He says, obey the commandments. He says, which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gives a list. Jesus says, take an inventory. How are you doing? Celebrate recovery. Principle number 4, step number 4, take a fearless moral inventory. Take a look at your life. What are you doing? What are you not doing? Believe me, if you are walking with the Lord, He has been telling you your next step. Can I get a witness on that? He'll let you know. And somebody will come up and say, Lord, talking to you about that? Oh, about 4 months now. See, the real question is, how long does the Lord got to tell you what to change before He change it? How obedient, how malleable are you in the hand of the Lord? Jesus says, this is the list that I've got. And you take a standard, and our problem in our culture is we really don't have that good of standards. You look around, you look online, and you see this person in adultery, and this person parading around naked, and this person doing this, and this person doing that. And all these people that aren't doing anything good. And you can look at that and say, I think I'm doing pretty good. Amen? And this guy says, I think I'm doing pretty good. I want you to notice, I mean, most of this list comes from the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten. It is interesting to note that Jesus gives about half. And if you know or have studied anything about the Ten Commandments is in two halves, pretty much. You have the horizontal part. Don't commit adultery, don't steal, bear false witness, those things, horizontal relationships of your relationship with those people around you. Have no idols, don't misuse the name of the Lord, honor the Sabbath. Have no gods before me. Those are the vertical portions of your relationship with God. Interesting that Jesus did not bring up any of those. Let's take a look and see what happens. He says, all these I've kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? And he says, I think I'm good. I think I'm making it. I think I am on the track to eternal life. Is there anything I still lack? Is there anything I'm falling short of? Now, this story of the rich young ruler is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Mark, he says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And you just see, I think I'm good. I can see some excitement on this guy's face. I don't know how young or old he was. It says rich young ruler. So I'm thinking that he was fairly young. And Jesus looks at him and just loves him. I asked my wife last night. There is one of our family stories. When we go up to Santa Cruz for a week. Week or 10 days every fall. Every August, September. And Joe was 7 or 8 years old. He's actually pretty tall. But, and Lisa said, I don't know how it came about, but he was packing for himself, first time. And so he's packing, he's in there doing stuff. It's taking a while, And he comes out and he's got his bag. He says, I'm all packed, Mom. And Lisa, in her great wisdom, says, very good, very good. There's a suitcase. He says, let's see what you got. He had one T-shirt and toys. And Lisa's, she's still on maybe a pair of socks. It's a little fuzzy on that. And you know what? Lisa loved that boy. Just looks at him and just go, oh, you are just so sweet. And I think that's a sentiment that Jesus had with this rich young ruler. When he's saying, I think I'm good. He just loved that man. This guy is missing the whole God connection. Thinks he's going to heaven. Realistically, the guy had wealth. And the guy was working all the horizontal relationships. He was probably pretty popular. He was probably pretty good in the church and bringing them offerings. And everybody's slapping him on the back saying, how good you are and how popular you are and you're so good. And Jesus says, this is what you got to do. And he says, I think I'm good. But you don't do good to get eternal life. You do good because you have eternal life. So let's see where Jesus is taking us today. Amen. Jesus gives the next stop. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect. I mean, it's just kind of like what the other shoe dropping. The other shoe's going to drop. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions. Give to the poor. How many people like that part? I like that part. Oh, yeah. Send it my way. And you're going to have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Let's talk about what's missing. Because this guy had the whole vertical relationship with God was missing in his life. Now, most of you, now, Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. Jesus had not yet paid for your sin. Jesus had not yet been raised, and the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. But that has occurred now, and you might be in right relationship with Christ. You might have received him as your Lord and Savior. You might be in that lifelong lease, but there can still be some things that are missing. Can I get a witness on that? I want to tell you right now that there's more than one thing that this guy is lacking. And I want to let you know right now there's more than one thing that you're lacking. But God's focus is always on the next thing that you are lacking. Because he only wants you to deal with one thing at a time. We're going to go here and then here. It's like hurdles, one at a time. And God is always going to be focused on the next thing. Because it's the next thing that keeps us from moving on in our relationship with God. Sell your stuff. Give it to the poor and follow me. We know the answer. He said. But think, if he said, okay, Jesus, you got it. I'm going to have a garage sale on Friday before Sabbath, right? We have our garage sales on Saturday before Sunday. So on Friday, I'm going to have a garage sale. And then on the Sabbath, I'm going to go to that pool by the sheep gate. You know the one I'm talking about, Jesus, where all the invalids are hanging around trying to get into the water before the water moves and someone's going to get it. Then I'm going to give all my money out to all those invalids, and I'll be looking for you Saturday afternoon. Where are you going to be? And I'm telling you, there would be such excitement in that guy's life. Why? Because he is risking all on the veracity of Christ. And I have found him to be true. Have you found him to be true? And when you take a risk and you put it all on the line for Christ, he never lets you down. Can I get a witness on that, Adriana? Amen. God is good. Remember, Jesus loves this guy. Get rid of all that stuff. Follow me. I want to let you know that God doesn't have a problem with you having stuff. There's lots of people in the New Testament that have stuff. It just happened to be a barrier in this guy's life. Bible tells us that the love of the money is the root of all kinds of evil. It was the barrier that was between him and following God. My question for you is, what's the next thing in your life? What is stopping you from taking that next movement in your lifelong lease with God? Because that's what he wants you working on. Can I get a witness on that? When the young man heard this, he went away sad. He had great wealth. He didn't make it. He said no. This can become a pattern. Nah, I don't think so, God. Some people have been on hold with God for a long time. Talk to them and say, oh, God, just being patient with me. You know, God exercising patience with me is not something I'm looking for. You know? I really don't love being patient with my children. No, I'm looking for first-time obedience. Can I get a witness on that? And so if you don't like it coming from your kids, I don't think God really loves it coming from his kids. Now, he's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but I think he does want you moving rapidly in the path that he has given you. Amen? See, like this guy, we can figure we're good enough. God, I'm good enough. I got your blood on the cross that has been shed for me. I'm good enough. I think I'll just stay where I am. And I think we can relate to this feeling of quitting, turning around. But it's hard to get that feeling when you're at that garage sale, selling all you got. Hard to get that feeling when you're going by the great beautiful with a stack of money, saying, okay, God, this is all I got. Bam, 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 bam. Risking all on the veracity of Christ. It'll show in your life. Lisa, you want to come up and play? It was a Sunday night. I was saved maybe 9 months. Had a missionary speaker. Talking about starting a computer school in Latin America. And I had a computer business. And he's talking about the first of its kind computerized education system in Latin America. And that he was going to get the computers, he's going to do this thing, and the Lord's speaking to my heart. And I'm saying, I'm the guy. And at the end of the service, the guy, God's speaking to you and wants to do a mighty work in you. I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you. And there's about 1,000 people in the crowd. There's maybe 30 people that came up. And I don't know where any of those other 29 are. But the next day, I went to my partner and I said, you want to buy me out? I said, I got to go. And he's like, what? I go, man, I got to go. God's got more for me than this. And I've been radically saved and doing all kinds of stuff. He wasn't saved at all. And he says, yeah, I'll buy you out in a heartbeat. And our customers that we had, they're totally confounded. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? I got to go. 18 months. That was like in June. I'd only been saved, 8-9 months. In September, I started Bible college. 18 months after that, I graduated with credentials, got married that month, and went down to Mexico that month to start 3 years ministry in Mexico. It has been exhilarating. And it's been a function of eternal life. It will flow out of your choices and your values. We don't do good to get eternal life. We do good because we've got eternal life. Amen? Lord, I thank you that you are mighty and awesome in this place. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for those teachers downstairs. Lord, I pray an anointing. Lord, I thank you for the fullness that you meet us here, Lord, that you are indeed mighty and awesome. And I thank you for eternal life. I thank you for these young lives, lives that are on the way, old lives. I thank you for eternity spreads both ways, that some of us are already on, making choices that reflect it. And Lord, I pray for those this morning, Lord, like Roscoe, like this rich young man who said, no, I'm scared, no. I've got too much on the line. You're here this morning and you're not on eternal life. You're not experienced that relationship with the Lord. You've told him no and no and no and no. And this morning he says, would you like to sign a lease with me? It's a lifetime lease and it'll get you eternal life. Nobody looking around, you're here this morning, and the Lord is just saying, you are in danger. He said, Lord, I'll take that deal, a life exchange, my life for yours. I'm not going to be like Roscoe. I'm not going to be like the rich young ruler. I'm going to be made new in you today. Nobody looking around. If that's you, just slide your hand up. Say, I want that deal, Lord. I want that. Here. Here. Anybody else?